Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Da-da-da-da. Hello, and welcome to the Wednesday podcast here on Post Your Recap. My name is Marissa Garza, and I got my glow sticks and my dancing shoes on, and I'm ready to go. But luckily, I don't have to go to the rave in alone. Please welcome the gazelle to my wounded fawn, Tanya Sparks. How are you?
I am so excited about this dance. Although I don't understand how they expect me to drink these drinks that are clearly full of dry ice.
And also food coloring. Like,
yeah,
it was very interesting.
Like, spike the punch.
Yeah.
It's undrinkable.
Yeah. It was a little much.
It is impotable.
Well, before we get to the dance, just a few housekeeping reminders, as always, at the top. LaTanya, did you want to sing your announcements?
You mean announcements at the top?
Yeah.
Announcements, announcements, announcements. A terrible death to die. A terrible death to die. A terrible death to be talked to death. A terrible death to die. Announcements, announcements, announcements. Yes?
Wow. See, we can't go back now.
Please write in. Tell us if you hate that, because I'll stop doing immediately. Like, if you hate it, because we like it too much.
Or does it need like a remix?
Yeah.
Like,
ooh.
Like, make it your own.
Get tricky in here on the remix.
Well, the Wednesday podcast about the show Wednesday on Netflix hops in your feeds on Wednesdays and Fridays for about 4 weeks. We've at this point recorded 3 out of the 8 episodes, and you can find them all at postyourrecaps.com/binge in the binge show recaps feed. We are taking this adventure one podcast, one episode at a time, so we can theorize and try to figure everything out along the way. So these are spoilered up until the episode that we have watched. If you've watched beyond the episode that you're listening to, please do not spoil anything for us if for some reason we have not already released the next episode. We appreciate your help in keeping it fun for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Please don't spoil us.
Please.
The penalty for spoilers is a bathroom piranha.
Piranha. That's always how I have to say piranhas now.
Yeah.
Well, we are here to talk about episode 4, the halfway point here in our Wednesday adventure. Well, what a night.
Mid-December back in 59. I know the words to every song. It's a problem.
What did you think of this episode?
I love a dance.
Yeah.
I love a high school dance episode. And Wednesday's got some moves. Like, that was clearly choreographed.
Yeah. Who knew, right?
Yeah.
Like, you again, she must have like time travel abilities to really like learn
how
everything
does she possibly had time for a modern dance class on like, top of everything else she does.
It was very like 80s channeled. It was so good.
It was
I loved it. Yeah, I enjoyed this episode as well. I also, you know, again, so many more questions along the way. I think, you know, since we're to the halfway point, we are going to have to start closing in on some answers here.
Yes,
but
we do.
For right now, we're still in question territory.
So many questions. Everybody sus. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotten to a point where it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what else is ridiculous? Trying to break into the medical examiner's office in the middle of the night.
With your With your hand companion.
Yes, with your hand companion.
Your companion.
Oh, that was a good one. That was good. So, Wednesday and Thing are off to the medical examiner to try and figure out what the heck is going on out there in the woods. Thing is going through the vents, as one does in these situations. And while they're there, Wednesday tells Thing to go get copies of the autopsies of the others, and she is going to inspect the bodies. And she's like fully prepared. Like this lady has all of the gadgets she needs. She's taking notes with a recorder and everything.
She's like, while I do the autopsy, you go and make copies of all the files. It's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. While you do the autopsy, aren't you like 15?
I mean, there's a lot to be said about what you can learn by watching crime TV shows.
That's also true. I'm sure.
Like, everyone has a medical degree from Grey's Anatomy. Like,
that part is true. I, being the Wednesday Addams that I was as a kid, my mom and I would bond over watching Dr. Bodden do autopsies. Okay. You can fully find these on HBO Max. Dr. Bodden is like a very famous forensic pathologist. I believe he did the autopsy for both Martin Luther King Jr. and JFK.
Oh, wow.
And he's testified in like tons of trials. But yeah, there is a series that kind of recapped the most asked about autopsies that he's ever done. And our complaint, because of course I love this show, I'm a Wednesday, not enough autopsy in the autopsy show.
Yeah, in this show or in the doctor,
in both, either. For the show about autopsies, we got a lot of talk about the cases, but not nearly enough was shown in terms of the actual autopsy. Like, my mom was like, I tuned in. This is false advertisement.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has like the same Meredith Grey experience of watching like medical procedures as a young child.
Right.
But you know, somewhere out there, I'm sure the footage is there.
It has to be.
So Wednesday's out there making her recorder notes. She hears a car out in the distance, but she also notices something particularly interesting about the body of the man who was attacked most recently. The man is missing his left foot, and it's not like it was like pulled off, gnarled off, anything like that. It was like a clean cut.
Yes, surgical precision.
Yes.
And they start to realize that all of the victims have some body part missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a serial killer who is either keeping trophies or
AKA Dexter.
Yeah. Or Dexter only kept blood slides.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, yeah. Or they are consuming them, or are using them in some other way.
I don't know if I want to know about the other way.
Like for sorcery or something like that.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Double toil and trouble type of situation.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Those are my theories. Those are my autopsy watching as a child theories.
All right. So I'm just going to... I said last podcast that Miss Thornhill has gone up on my list. And if these body parts are being used for something else, could they be used... To feed
the
carnivorous plants.
Some of those carnivorous plants are big enough to digest.
No, they're a little bit. Yeah. Because we noticed, like, when so the car had the sheriff and the medical examiner in it, and they come in, and the medical examiner shows the foot in a jar, but off of the foot are two toes that are missing. Like,
yeah.
This is like really, really, really weird.
Yes.
The sheriff does leave the medical examiner's office. Before the ME leaves, he notices there's an open door. And of course, it's Wednesday just hanging out in the cadaver locker.
He's all like, Wow. And rigor mortis already.
How do you do that? Like, how do you do that?
I'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thankfully. But then when Thing goes to free her, she goes, another 10 minutes. I was just starting to get comfortable.
I mean, it tracks. It tracks. It definitely does. Really fun to see.
Yeah. That Wednesday, Adams. My goodness.
Well, she comes back from the medical examiner, and we finally see the thing I know, LaTanya, you've been looking forward to. The murder board. The murder board makes its first appearance. Enid doesn't love it.
Yeah. Enid is like, I didn't realize that you would be bringing out Ted Bundy's Pinterest.
I love that everything is hilarious. Like, still social media with her. Like, I love that. She was like, it's a Pinterest board as opposed to like just being a like a board. Yeah. Like, she sees the social media first.
She sees the social media thing component first. And also, you know, Wednesday ignores the fact that her roommate, who is clearly squeamish about these things, is squeamish about this and slowly but surely getting pale and then just passes the fork.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah. And we get a couple of good, like, ew. From
yeah.
Ew. Like, she's not like, she's not loving it.
Ew.
Ew. And this
We're having too much fun already.
Wednesday is putting together that, like, body parts are being collected. There's some sort of trophy situation happening. Mm-hmm. So as you do over at Nevermore, you must attend. No day is complete without plant class.
Like, what? Like, this is, I get it being something in the curriculum, but I don't get it being, I can see it as an elective, not as like a required class that the students
Everyone's there. Everyone who's anyone is there. And Miss Thornhill starts off class by saying something interesting about carnivorous plants that I wasn't aware of. She says that carnivorous plants use sexual trickery or deception to lure their victims.
What doesn't?
What are you telling us, Miss Thornhill?
Yeah.
What are you telling us?
The first thing you're doing is you're giving Wednesday ideas.
that is for sure what's happening, because
sexual trickery, never a phrase that I want to hear, you know.
It's usually up to no good, right? the sexual trickery. Meanwhile, in class, Xavier sitting next to Wednesday, it's definitely, he says he tweaked his back. He's like, oh, I tweaked my back. But there's totally some scratches on his neck. He can't really hide this from Wednesday. She's picking up on something being a little sus.
They're
here.
Pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
And they get more and more noticeable as the episode goes on.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't do too good of a job hiding it. I mean, for all of the magic he's around, like, I'm surprised there's not more camouflage that could have been done, or like a mirage of some, you know what I mean? Like, so this makes me wonder if he wants people to know and if he wants people to notice.
I don't understand. Other than him being a tortured artist, what would be the point of him wanting people to notice this? Especially when there's like a noted monster going around and murdering people. And the complete expression of his powers are, you know, we really haven't seen it yet.
We've just seen that he is able to draw, which is, you know, a very normie skill, but then he can take those drawings and bring them to life, kind of like a 3D printer type of situation,
which is weird.
Yes, but they aren't very formidable creatures or things after they're brought to life, because Wednesday was able to just kind of like make one obliterate into dust. So, but we haven't learned anything more about him.
Shockingly little about Xavier.
I mean, so far, what do we know? We know his dad is a famous seer who has shows in Vegas.
Yes.
And he is friends with the Addams Family or like related a god, like at least parent,
like knows a godparent and a grandmother of some sort.
Yeah,
they were childhood friends or acquaintances.
And Wednesday and him like knew each other back then, but haven't seen each other since then. And he used to go with Bianca, but then they broke up because he thought he was being manipulated. I think that's he does not like Tyler.
Right. That's we know that. And now we find out that he paints.
Well, yes, because Wednesday, as well, on her little sleuthy sleuths, puts on her sleuth shoes and follows Xavier out into the woods because we had seen him come out of like this barn structure last episode.
Right. And but, lock it up.
Yeah. It turns out like this is his private studio. I was like, of course, Xavier, you needed a private studio. But he has a private studio where he paints, and all of these drawings seem to have a theme. They are all suspiciously and conveniently of the creature.
They are with great detail.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. So Wednesday walks in, she sees all this. She's like, oh my goodness, this is what's going on here. As she exits the studio, Xavier catches her. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think she was influenced by Miss Thornhill, because she's like, oh, I was going to ask you to the Raven.
I love this scene so much because, you know, Xavier is totally into her. And it's also really funny because she's like, are you actually going to make me say the words?
Right. And she can't. She's like,
she can't do it. She's, would you
possibly consider
going to the Raven dance with me?
It's like a good 30 plus seconds of her trying to figure out how to say this.
Yeah.
But all in the back of her head, she's like, well, if I go to the dance with Xavier, I can hang out with the serial killer.
Yes. Like, I would like to get closer to the serial killer. Yeah. I've always basically wanted an interview with the vampire. And, you know, now not only is that possible because of the school I go to, but now I can hang out and get closer to a possible serial killer.
Yeah,
which is something that she's always looked forward to, apparently.
You know, you got to chase those dreams.
Honestly, my Wednesday really is showing out on these, on these episodes. I have always been so fascinated by serial killers.
This is not an open invitation for any serial killer.
No. Oh, goodness, no. But I've always wanted to interview. Like, I actually thought of going into forensic psychiatry so that I could, you know, have my clients be, you know, serial killers. So that I could try to learn more about what makes them tick and what makes them do what they do.
That is a big question, right? Like, because I think it's something so removed from my everyday thoughts. It's like, what goes through the mind of someone who does that?
Exactly.
And I think that's why we see so much of that in reflected in the media that we consume, like from Hannibal Lecter all the way, you know,
it's to you.
Through. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere. It's the reason why a show as dark and almost unnecessary as, say, a Dahmer has, you know, been topping the Netflix charts consistently for weeks.
Yeah, that's we could have a podcast about that at some point. Yeah, that's another podcast for another day.
Yeah, for sure. That one we'll call Came Through Stabbing. Stab.
Stab, jab. So we've got Wednesday has secured her date to the Raven. She comes home. Enid is like so excited. She's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're going to the Raven. We have to go get a dress. I'm going to take you to Haute Couture, which is like the pinkest store you've ever seen in your life. And Wednesday's like, cool, but no, thank you.
Yes, the mere idea. I mean, we got this scene before with Enid kind of going through fashion choices in the last episode of what she might possibly wear to her date behind the botanical shed.
Yes.
And one of the things that that she showed Wednesday was so colorful. She's like, God, I feel like you just napalmed me, Enid. So funny. So the mere idea of taking someone who literally removed all of the color from her side of the room and threw it onto Enid's to a store that is just like a pastel pink explosion.
Right.
That's a choice. You know, not a great choice, but definitely a choice.
Well, I think Enid doesn't know that black and white world. And so she's just using what she knows. She's trying to bond in the best way she knows how.
Right.
And I think what's cool is that Wednesday can see that and understands that, but then also doesn't participate to people please. She's just like, I know this is what you want from me, but I'm actually going to go do something else. So yeah. You have fun here. And I'm going to go do my thing. Okay, thanks, bye.
And Enid is also just like, really?
I know. I thought we were bonding.
But no, but then she was like, are you sure you're okay with it?
Yeah,
okay, great,
yeah,
bye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, I think they have a pretty healthy friendship, at least at the moment. She does see, Wednesday does see a dress in Uriah's heap that does catch her eye. Yes, a little bit.
It's a perfect dress for Wednesday, it is. Actually.
It is. And we see Dr. Kimbot coming out of Uriah's heap while she was admiring the dress. A little weird.
Not so.
I mean, like, we know that she plays with the animals or whatever.
Like, sells the animals to Uriah's heap.
Yeah, and she like says it's like because it's outside of her comfort zone.
Yeah,
that's
a weird reason.
Yeah, I mean there are things. There are other things. I mean, when therapists say do things outside your comfort zone, I don't think they're saying find roadkill and stuff them and put them in scenes to be sold in a store. But to each their own. Like again. I don't know. It just seemed like a very yada yada answer for the situation.
Yeah. Like Kenbot just, I just like the idea of calling her Kenbot. Kenbot just showing up. All of these people are so randomly there in Wednesday's path that it's just, it's a little ridiculous at a certain point. It's just like, what are you doing here? Do I have to speak to you now that we're not in your office?
Yeah, it's like, it's convenient that you are also here all of the time. Like everyone, like last episode, like Miss Thornhill was there. You know, like weird, just weird. So the other thing that Wednesday's going to do is, as opposed to finding a dress, is she goes to meet with the sheriff and she's like, look, this is what I got. I think we should team up. I've got this creature theory. If you can tell me what you're working on, I'll tell you what I'm working on, and I can be like a mole for you at Nevermore. And the sheriff's like, okay, but you don't have any real evidence yet. Right. So once you get some evidence, then we can talk.
Yeah. It is the most cordial the sheriff has been to Wednesday in this entire show.
Well, I think like his visit to the medical examiner kind of gave him some more reasons to believe her, because like the foot being cut and then the toes being cut is a little a little weird.
A little bit. On top of the fact that these people are shredded by you know, what have to be huge claws, and then the pictures of that monster are just horrific.
Yes.
You've got to think that he's flailing a little bit at this point because he really doesn't have any answers.
Okay. This might be me again thinking too much, but it's a podcast. That's what I'm here to do. So when you look at the pictures of the creature and the drawings of the creature, and then you look at Miss Thornhill's face, do you see any correlation?
Ooh, that is mean.
It's not like, not in a bad, like, not mean, like, no, the no. Eye, so, or like with her glasses.
What I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say. I feel you because, you know, in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, I don't know if you've seen that movie, Doctor Strange and the Mom. Lord, that movie. Anyway, where, you know, her only motivation was her imaginary children.
Yeah.
she sends creatures after America.
Yes.
Yeah, America Chavez. And the creature that's just like an eye with like tentacles is based on Elizabeth Olsen's actual eye.
Yeah.
See? So it makes sense that there could be some features that could be ridiculously enhanced in order to make.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that this is Christine, but like looking at like the structure of the face, plus like her glasses made her eyes look like the this could totally be a red herring and trying to make us think this way, but right. I just kept
it's a good train of thought. Let's go down it.
Like looking at the comparison between the two, and then the fact that like the sus meter on Miss Thornhill is rising.
It's very much rising.
So I don't know.
The sus meter on Miss Kinbot is kind of at a stasis level for me right now, Dr. Kinbot, I should say, because, you know, I think her hobby is weird, but I do think that she does legitimately want to help the patients that she's working with, and she just has a hobby. But, you know, she does have really both Dr. Kinbot and Miss Thornhill have huge eyes. Like they're mm-hmm. like, you know, they have huge pronounced eyes. And so that's something that I've been looking to, as well as like forehead, like to rest of the face ratio.
There's something with the shape of this creature.
The shape of the face. Yeah. Is almost like a heart shaped face, which is the facial structure of Christina Ricci.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know. Right now she's my number one.
Yeah. But again, it will depend on the execution.
Yes.
But I will be a little bit like if it is Christina Ricci.
I think that's why I'm, you know, also kind of hoping it's a red herring, mainly because I'd love for us to be thinking that and then be turned around in some other way, because that would be fun.
Yes, exactly. I hope that the mystery takes us into more twisty turny ways.
Well, yeah, and there's so many, like we said, ingredients in the salad that it can't just be as straightforward as Christina reaches the bag.
No, we're gonna need a salad spinner.
We are. Well, I can't get you a salad, but I can get you a coffee. Ooh. So let's head over to the weather vane, where we see Enid is talking with some vampires. Can I just tell you, like, there's nothing from the Fangs in this entire series. Like, I totally forgot that there were vampires at the school.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's...
Well, there is a little bit. The DJ is at least wearing... If those aren't real Fangs, and I think they might be.
Yeah, but there's, like, no... stories of anyone getting bitten, or you know what I mean? They're just kind of there.
Yeah. I always want vampires to be front and center. They're my favorite supernatural creature
being.
Yeah. So I would love more. Maybe the Fangs are a season two.
Or like maybe they're behind the whole thing. Who knows?
Oh no.
So Enid's talking to some vampire friends and gets interrupted by Lucas. Remember that Lucas is the guy who works at Pilgrim World, whose dad owns Pilgrim World and is also the mayor.
Weird.
Yeah. Turns out Enid doesn't have a date to the Raven, and Lucas wants to make some girl jealous. So maybe they can team up.
Hey, I have a question, Marissa.
I have an answer, maybe, LaDanya.
Would you like to form an alliance with me?
Absolutely, I do.
That's kind of the conversation they have, you know?
Yes, I do like, though, that Enid's like, why should I trust you? My roommate kicked your butt twice. Like, that was fun.
So, and like, you know that if she needs to, she can do it again.
She can, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. While at the weather vane, Wednesday also runs into Tyler. And
conveniently.
Yeah, or outside or around the weather vane. Yeah. And Tyler, like, wonders if she's going to the Raven, because apparently everybody knows about the Raven.
Right.
It's so Raven that they know about the Raven.
Quoth the Raven. Nevermore.
And here we get this like interesting conversation about like feelings and dating and things like that, because it turns out that Tyler doesn't like that Wednesday is going to the dance with Xavier, and Tyler's like, listen, you're giving me some mixed signals. I thought we liked each other. Wednesday right. says, I can't pick up your emotional Morse code.
So good. Like the audacity of mm-hmm. men to think that their weak little signals are doing anything to reach us. Just say words.
Yeah, I think it's true on both, on all counts. All humans should yes, just say words. And true. I think what's especially here, though, when you have someone like Wednesday who's really focused on obviously this creature and murder situation, you right. might have to be a little over the top or a little bit more obvious about your intentions, because exactly. she's not going to be focusing on anything you're laying down. Like,
no.
She's going to need to be not literally, but hit over the head with a message a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, woman's got other stuff on her mind.
Yeah.
A little bit more pressing than a teenage, love triangle. I yeah. almost said teenage three-way. That's not the right way to describe it.
That's not it.
That's not it. No one endorses that. But yeah, that like, you know, the best way to solve this is just to become a throuple.
I mean, they might have to team up, all three of them, to solve this thing. So we'll see what happens.
They will, unless, of course, one of them is this thing. Yeah. Not thing, but, you know.
The other thing. The other thing that's not thing.
Right. You know, that thing.
Yeah. Wednesday moves the murder board to the hive.
Murder board.
Over to the hive to be with Eugene. And
Eugene
really like still thinks he has a shot with Enid to go to the dance, and tells Wednesday to give her some honey from the hive. It's so cute.
It's probably really good honey.
I was gonna say, and you know, local honey can help with allergies, so yeah, it's cool.
It sure can. It looked great.
It's just so Eugene. And he yeah. like looking at the board and he's like, I knew it wasn't a bear. So he's such a good support of
he is. Wednesday. And he really is like almost a stand-in for Pugsley.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, she says in the first episode to Pugsley, you're weak. You won't survive with me without me.
Well, and I think there's at one point too where Wednesday tells Eugene, you remind
yes,
me of my brother.
You remind me of my brother. So I think that they're going to have like a pretty deep bond no matter what. Unless
for some time remaining.
Yeah. For the time being, for this episode, they're going to have a really deep bond.
Yeah. I mean, they do. They do have a deep bond until the end.
Yeah.
Wednesday
he just needs to be bonded back together. Ooh. At that point.
Ooh. Well, and there's also okay, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
Eugene is surprised to learn that Wednesday is going to the Raven. He's like, what? Because he thought that they could go together, and she's like, I already have a date, I'm already going, but I right. have ulterior motives. So it's yeah. not what you think it is.
No, it's never what you think it is.
And while looking at the murder board, Eugene notices that there's like a circle around one of the creatures, and he knows exactly where it is. Like, Eugene, so resourceful. And it turns out it's a cave in the middle of the woods.
Mm.
So they go investigate, and Wednesday says another one of her great lines, if you hear me screaming bloody murder, it's a good chance I'm enjoying myself.
So good. That was in the weeks ahead, mm-hmm. or like on after the first episode, and I was really waiting for that line to come up and wondering what the context was. Another classic Wednesday Addams line.
Very much so. What did you think of this cave?
You know, the same as I think of any cave, not going in there, probably bats in there. Don't like the outside unless it's a mall that's outside. Old Orchard is great. I'm just not I'm not a sportswoman. You know, I've played sports, but like outdoor things are not where I'm not going into a cave and you can't make me. And if you try to make me, I might have to kick your butt like Wednesday did to those pilgrims. There are bats in caves. They just are. That's where they live.
Yeah.
And those things freak me out. I cannot with bats. I can't.
I have to remind myself that bats eat mosquitoes, and then I feel like 5% better about bats, but I also do not enjoy bats.
How are you that big and you're eating mosquitoes? What's wrong? Like, there's something going on. And I think that the PR team for bats and owls have been way too great. Like, we've got to do something to deplatform these animals. I'm very upset about it.
Wow. You can find LaTanya not inside any cave going forward.
Never.
On the other hand, I don't mind caves as long as I have Girl Scouted myself and have what I need. But
and by that you mean covered yourself in the remains of Girl Scouts, of course.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
What has this podcast become?
But I would not like this cave was creepy. There were so many different bones, There were human bones, deer bones, so many. And then there was this shackle. Did that shackle remind you of the shackles from the vision?
It very much so. And there was perfect claw marks. This is where the production team was just a little too perfect in what they did. But there's six perfect claw marks.
Yeah.
So I guess whatever this creature is goes from having five fingers to three, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe that those are just the claws that they use to try to escape this once.
Or maybe the claws regenerate or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
because
know.
There's a full claw, there's a the full yeah. one that's lodged in the cave itself.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, of course, is amazing.
I'm gonna take it.
Yeah, got it. Got that evidence.
She takes the claw and heads back to Xavier's studio to try and find DNA because she's okay, the sheriff wants evidence. I'm going to get him evidence. I have this claw. I'm going to try to find DNA. If they can do a match, see what's going on.
I got.
She finds a bloody cloth in the garbage. Again, Xavier is right there. At this time.
Just there. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why are you? I mean, I guess it's your...
I mean, it's
personal,
but it's
space.
But really, yeah, what are you doing
in your own personal space? Stop it.
Yeah,
yeah. But I couldn't. I honestly could not tell if that rag was just paint.
Yeah, me neither. Because there was some red paint in his drawings.
Yeah, or if it was lip blood. I could not tell. So I think that's a very big possibility that Wednesday is going to look like she is even more off base with the sheriff because it's probably just paint.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, I guess they're in the process by the end of this video.
Yeah.
I mean, video. Yes. End of this episode.
This Netflix video.
This YouTube video we've been watching.
Netflix YouTube video.
At the end of their interaction here at the studio, though, Xavier does figure out that Wednesday only asked him to the dance because she's interested in the story. And he's upset because it turns out he actually cares about Wednesday and he feels like she doesn't care about him. So they kind of call off the Raven-ness of it all.
And we already know that he has trust issues surrounding the women that he's dated in the past, with dating Bianca and thinking that she was using her siren song in order to persuade him in one direction or the other. So this guy is just going to be perpetually hurt at all times. Tortured artist indeed.
Yeah, he's living up to his vocation.
Yeah,
I think.
But is he a torturing artist?
Oh, we'll find out.
the sound. What?
Wednesday takes this evidence straight to the sheriff and is like, here, here you go.
Yep. I did it. I solved it. I'm done.
Case closed.
Yeah.
And the sheriff wants more information. And she says, I'll tell you only after you run the test. Very well played by Wednesday here.
Right.
Meanwhile, back at school, yeah. Eugene is sad because Enid said no to going to the dance. And Wednesday's like, well, even though I'm not going to go to the Raven. Let's go explore the cave instead.
Right.
We also do
see that's my idea of a night out.
I mean, for Wednesday, sure. Bianca and Xavier end up saying that they'll go to the dance again, too, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. You know, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one who is in proximity to you.
Especially in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. Well, this is not like what Thing wants to have happen.
No.
Thing takes things into his own hand. Not hands, just hand.
Just like Wednesday did not have a hand in setting that fire.
Oh, look at that. And he like types up this letter.
Oh my gosh. So adorable.
Yeah, on like Wednesday Adam stationery, which I just think is funny because her initials, of course, are WA, but when you read them, it's just like, wow. Wow.
She forgot the P.
Just wow.
Go get your boots and your coat, everybody.
But it's like apparently a very genuine invitation for Tyler to join Wednesday at the Raven.
Did you read this invitation? I didn't. Normally
what
paused.
Did it say? Did you read it?
Oh no, I didn't.
It didn't show up fast. Like it was. Just
yeah, it wasn't
like,
on the screen long enough to have been read. But he was very moved by it.
He was.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
It's time to dance. Let's go to the Raven. So the Raven, like, what did you think of the total vibe here? It's like very winter dance time. It's all in white. There's a Yeti ice sculpture. It's
right.
Like, I would need a coat, I think. It was seeming very cold to me.
Yeah. I think the point was for it to seem cold and not have it actually be cold in there. Because you know how people are when they get dressed up, people are often like wearing clothes with no sleeves, no back. Like that's just the way that formal gowns are made for the most part. Unless you have a dress that's made for you, like a wedding gown, and you're getting married in the fall or winter, then formal dresses barely have any material to them, yet they cost so much.
Yes, this is true.
But I thought the overall vibe was gorgeous. I can never really wrap my head around when a bunch of young people who are creative get together and decorate things. Because the decorating is always done by a decorating committee made up of the students and like one teacher to supervise, in this case Miss Thornhill. But like it looks beautiful. Like there's an ice sculpture of a Yeti. Like, you know, there's this punch that no one can physically drink but is fantastic ambiance. Like, and the people rocking in really do look great. We've got Miss Thornhill like kindly greeting people as they come in, and she sees Bianca and she's just like, oh my god, you look so beautiful. She does. Like, Bianca's dress is beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I love that. I love that there are people who stuck to the theme, the suggested theme of wearing all white. But then someone like Bianca did what she did with wearing a dress that, you know, look different colors depending on what kind of lighting she was in.
Yeah, it was very reflective. And, yeah. But and also looked like scales, which I thought was
exactly,
which was nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. Her eye makeup was on point and like somehow both matched and complemented her eye color.
Yeah.
She looked amazing. All of the guys like cleaned up really nice, which I thought was cool. And you could tell that they had kind of been like in actual production of the show, they had kind of held back the young actors from actually seeing Weems and Thornhill because they are like genuine reactions to how great everybody looks. And I think that's so cute. I would love a dance like this. Are you kidding? Oh, the vampire DJ? Let's go.
Sign me up. I think I would definitely attend this dance. I don't know. I would probably do some deviation on white. I'm always like, I'll take your theme and I'll twist it just a little bit.
That's how you stand out in fashion. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
During the introduction of the dance, we learn a little bit more about Principal Weems because she talks about the disappointment she had during the Raven, where the boy that she asked turned her down and chose to go with Morticia instead. So more to the pile of what's going on between them. We know that this might, like, I think we theorized a couple episodes ago that Gomez might be in the middle of this situation.
Right. We
did. So we'll see.
That was one of the 17,000 theories that we floated in that one episode of podcasting.
That was a lot.
That we should have written them down, frankly, because there are so many that we're going to forget about.
We'll go back and check before the finale.
Yeah, for sure. And if you all have theories, how can they get them to us?
Oh, they probably can reach out to us on Twitter or get to us in the Discord. I think those would be like the best ways to do so.
Please reach out to us with your non-spoilery theories, not theories that are based on you've seen the entire show and now you know what happened, but your theories up to episode 4, up to and including episode 4.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
While everyone's going to the dance, Wednesday is getting ready to go in the cave, but she is interrupted because Tyler has arrived all dressed in white. And this is where she figures out that Thing was up to this. And Thing, like, was so cute, like, got the dress for her and everything from Uriah's Heep, the black dress instead of the white dress. It was so cute.
How in Lucifer's reach did Thing manage to sneak into this store and steal this dress off of a mannequin that is in the window?
I know. I mean,
Thing is just a hand. How do you not see that?
Well, it's small things, and you're surrounded by like stuffed animals.
Yes, but the dress is moving.
Thing has his ways.
The dress.
Thing has ways.
How did he carry that?
Maybe Enid helped.
Okay, sure.
Maybe.
Like we talked about with the piranhas. I just have some practical questions that need to get answered.
Well, stay tuned for behind the scenes of Wednesday.
Yeah, seriously.
Wednesday does put on the dress and we get the classic, you know, teen dance movie, walking down the stairs, she's all that type of moment.
I know. And it's cute that she's like fidgeting with the dress while walking down the stairs too, and kind of unsure of herself, and, you know, wearing heels. It's very sweet, and it's also very cute because when Tyler shows up, he's like all dressed up and ready to go, and she thinks that he's Eugene, so she's like, all right, you got any batteries, or like, what's going on? And he's like, do you need a moment?
And she's like in her Tomb Raider gear. Like,
exactly. Yeah, she's ready to go raid a tomb. And then she does the very practical but yet still beautiful hairstyle of just taking her braids and tying them up.
Mm-hmm.
And making a little braid crown for herself, which I loved. I think that she looks so cute. And it was age very appropriate. Well done. Like, everybody looks age appropriate. I think that in these shows, they can try to like sex up the characters too much, like beyond their own age. And there's temptation too for the actors and actresses to take fashion risks on red carpets where they end up aging themselves up a lot. Like, I'm thinking of Millie Bobby Brown as like a classic example of this. Mm-hmm. She's so young. She's only 18 years old.
I know.
But like, you would never know that based on just how much makeup she's wearing and her clothing choices, which I don't begrudge her the ability to express herself. It's just that, you know, like, it's not as age appropriate as one would like a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, it sends different messages, I think. Yeah. You know, it's her choices.
It's her choice.
Yeah.
And she's free to do what she wants. She's an adult.
Yeah.
But it definitely sends a little bit of a different signal. And they really do a great job because Jenna Ortega is actually older than Millie Bobby Brown, but looks way younger.
Yeah, I think you can definitely tell, like, she fits the teenager going to like her first dance type of vibe.
Yeah.
I like that when she walks down and Tyler says, "You look like," it's just like a classic objectification of women for the male gaze. Like, she's just like, she's still herself in this moment.
Exactly.
While she's there, Eugene is like still there. I was like, "Hey, aren't we going to the cave? Like, what about that?" And she just keeps
motioning her eyes over.
Yeah. Do you not see that this is happening?
Yeah.
But Eugene's like a Hummer, never shies away from danger. And this is where I was like, nice knowing you, Eugene.
Yeah. You're a nice 3-episode character.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the Raven, I picked up on a couple of different things. Enid seems happy to have Ajax a little bit confused or jealous. Xavier is super brooding, like, the whole time. Like, he doesn't want to be there, really, because, like, when Wednesday walks in, he's very distracted. And Enid loves how Wednesday looks. She's very supportive of the whole thing, but Wednesday's a little bit taken aback by who Enid is there with, and she warns Lucas by saying, "I brought my pocket mace, not the medieval kind."
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the medieval kind. Yeah.
I love that little addition because of course Wednesday has a medieval mace.
Yes.
Of course she does.
And a pocket
one. She's probably
one
trained. Yeah. She's probably one. Trained with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Xavier's upset that Tyler's there. Like, it's very teen dancey. Everyone's mad and trying to make somebody jealous at the same time. But it seems like Enid and Lucas have a little bit of bonding over hockey. Enid apparently is a big hockey fan, and Lucas also is as well. And so they end up, like, dancing. Like, I think Enid catches a little bit of feelings for him.
She does. She says it later when everything is dashed. And I think that he's also starting to feel something and then just gets lured in by peer pressure, which is just so real. That's such a real thing that especially young men face, to just, you know, just the pressure to be someone that they're really not.
Yes.
And to go along with the crowd and to shun the outcasts. You know what I mean? Because it means that they continue to have their popularity and acceptance within the quote unquote normie world.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Xavier tells Wednesday the reason why he's upset that Tyler is there is because you don't know what he did to me. It's like, whoa, wow. What happened? Turns out Tyler assaulted Xavier and destroyed the mural that he looked at blank wall last episode. And that is why Taylor and Xavier don't like each other.
Yeah, and we learned that it was Tyler and friends that that did this, but you know, obviously for me anyway, this seems to be the episode which caused Tyler to have to have court ordered yes. therapy.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because in his conversation with Wednesday about it, Tyler's like, he takes responsibility for it. He's like, you know, Xavier could have been a lot meaner to me, but he wasn't. And he also is still trying to figure out why he did it. He doesn't understand right. what he did and why he did it, which can be a number of things on this type of show. But he's like, how different am I than you, Wednesday, who threw a bunch of piranhas in a pool?
Right.
So they're finding some common ground in their defensiveness, I guess.
Yeah. And their defenses are starting to come down a little bit. You know, and we'll talk about this in a second, but Wednesday even starts to acknowledge that it might be good for her to have some feelings from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. She goes back in. Wednesday dances her dance. It was the greatest thing.
It wasn't the mamushka.
No, it wasn't. It was the Goo Goo Muck. That was the name of the song. It kept saying the Goo Goo Muck.
They did? See, like, this is one of those songs that could have been made in 1942 or could have been made in 2022, you know? Yeah. Because a lot of the musical style is very much going back to like sounds of the 50s and 60s. I'm looking at you, that Meghan Trainor song that no one can escape.
That's your Gucci on.
Or her Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, she made you look.
She did.
She made you look. which is a very like 50s, 60s, like teeny bopper kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so can we talk for a second about this dance sequence?
Sure.
It was tremendous. I was not expecting it, which made it all the better. And I don't know why I wasn't expecting there to be a dance sequence at the dance.
I just didn't expect Wednesday to independently, spontaneously start dancing. I thought right. there would be dancing, but maybe it would be like a group dance and she would participate, or she would like Tyler would start dancing and she would mirror back or echo back. But she like legit in the middle of the floor
yeah.
took center stage and started doing her own dance. Like it was
yeah
her
something that only
else.
She can do. She probably choreographed this herself during her like alone time in her room, maybe before she came to Nevermore, or during like the time when her roommate is out. And she's, you know, sometimes you just have to dance it out. If Shonda Rhimes taught us anything,
true,
you got to dance it out sometimes. I just thought that this was so unique. The choreography was really, really great. It was executed really well. And I love the moment where she disappears and then does the thing with the flourish with the hand and taps him on the shoulder and appears on the other side. It's just so well done. I like, this is, for me, this is like, this is, what is the name of that movie? The one that, like this classic 90s movie that has Usher. And they have that choreographed dance to, I think it's to Funk Soul Brother.
What is that?
Let's see.
She's All That?
It could be She's All That. I mean, now this is great podcasting. yeah, it's called The Rockefeller Skank is the name.
Of the song. Yeah, I think yeah, it's She's All That because Usher plays the DJ.
Yes. It's sorry. I just found an oral history of it. It's from the Huffington Post. You can look this up for yourself by Lee Blickley. The dance scene no one wanted. An oral history of the She's All That prom. It just gave me so many, like, you know, nostalgic feelings about that movie, which we like bought way too much into any type of Shakespearean adaptation in the 90s. I was there for.
I hate about you.
And this was like very Taming of the Shrew. And then they had this very elaborate choreographed dance that was clearly done by just a cast of people who were actors, but also happened to be professional dancers as well. And it was great. And this gave me those vibes. And I really love that it was just Wednesday doing it herself and she wasn't trying to teach it to anyone. And it didn't do the whole thing, tropey thing where, oh, suddenly everyone knows the dance moves and everyone starts doing them.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to watch people's reaction to it. You know, Enid was like, oh, and then she like walks around and she does her own version of what she's seeing. You know, Xavier and Bianca are just like sitting there giving her like the stink eye the whole time. And other people are kind of just like giving her room and giving her space. And even Tyler was doing the same. And I really,
he was like taken aback by it, but in a great way.
Yeah, it was really fun. I really enjoyed
what was sad though was, you know, sitting there while Bianca and Tyler's just pouting this whole time. Xavier's just pouting this whole time, and Bianca's sitting there kind of like dancing around in her seat. You know, had he been paying any attention to her, he would have asked her to dance.
Well, and he asks her to like, he's so distracted by Wednesday as Bianca, who's wearing an amulet to like calm her sirens.
That's what the amulet is for.
Yeah. So he says, hey, can you take off your amulet to make me forget about her? So like basically I can be obsessed with you instead of being obsessed with her. And to Bianca's credit, she's like, F that. And she gets up and she leaves, which I thought was great.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Because there are way too many, especially young women, but just young people in general who don't know their own worth. And you are worth so much more than having some ass hat of a guy try to make you, tell you to use your powers to make him forget about another girl so that he can instead be siren songed by you. Like, that is just the height of hubris, and I would have like thrown that drink in his stupid face if he asked me to do that.
It does you know, yes, we are all in control, like responsible for our own emotions and our own our own things, but it does lead to an interesting conversation between Bianca and Wednesday outside of the dance. And I thought this was interesting because they talk about like not really knowing someone's true feelings. And from Bianca's perspective, she doesn't know, you know, she says that Xavier couldn't trust her feelings because he didn't know if it was like the song or not. And she says, I couldn't trust his feelings either.
Right.
And Wednesday says, you know, I know I don't think about what other people think of me, but I wish I cared a little bit more. And so I just thought this was a very, you know, I know they're enemies, but this is like a very girlfriends type of talk. Like, this is very girl talk.
It's very girl talk. And it's also very like, look what we could have if the two of you just join forces.
You know, it's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm anxiously awaiting it to happen because when the two of them do finally join forces and become friends, they're going to be an unmatched group of ladies.
Yeah.
And then
put
them together with like Enid's ability to plan and, you know, get stuff done and know all the gossip. They could be the most frightening trio in the history of the school.
Agreed. While this was all happening, Eugene, he's out there in the woods and he sees someone by the cave, but then the cave gets blown up.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. It was just like, oh, it's on fire. And then Enid runs away. I mean, not Enid, Eugene walks away or runs away. I, I was very surprised that the cave, we don't know at the end of this episode, we still don't know who was responsible for blowing the cave up.
Yeah, and it's weird to pick out who the suspects would be because the majority of them are at this dance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, unless it was the sheriff himself or maybe the mayor just trying to get rid of the den of the quote unquote bear to make it so they don't have any like safe haven anymore.
That could be. That could be.
But it was just very random.
It was like, oh, it's on fire.
Yeah.
Also, while all this is happening, Lucas's pilgrim friends have arrived with a truck full of something. We're assuming we don't know what it is until it starts. When they pull the fire alarm, it's like the last song, the last call for a dance, and the fire alarm gets pulled in. All of this red stuff is coming out of the sprinkler system. Very reminiscent of Carrie.
Yes.
It is not pig's blood. It is only paint. Wednesday's very disappointed in that fact.
But I know. She's like basking in all of this and like takes a taste.
Yeah, I know, right?
Damn it. They didn't even spring for real pig's blood. This is just paint. She's just so... The fact that she's just so unmoved and disappointed in the teenage pranks that these people come up with is really hilarious.
She's like, if you're gonna do well, it comes back to her whole like attempted murder is an insult because I didn't finish the job.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
We also get this really great scream from Principal Weems. I just wanted to point that out. Like, she like is so good.
Yes, and it's like all of her dreams have been like ruined yet again. Yeah. For what she thought
she
was
wasn't even excited to be there anyway because she was remembering the disappointment of her youth. So I don't really know what she has to scream about, but I'm glad we got a good scream.
Yeah, that was a great scream.
And of course it wouldn't be an episode of Wednesday if we didn't get a vision. So she gets a vision, mm-hmm. and this is where she sees that Eugene is in trouble.
Yes,
and she runs out, and Miss Thornhill is also conveniently like around there. And yeah. There, very interesting. And Enid finds out that Lucas's friends were the people who put the paint all over everything, and is disappointed. They have words outside, but then Ajax comes to her defense.
Yeah,
he's all like, why didn't you ask me?
And they I know
this very cute teenage moment of you know, taking it slow.
Right. That's their version of taking it slow. I mean, you kind of have to tell someone when you accidentally stone yourself, because who is going to think that that yes. is a possibility? Like, is it honestly more fathomable to think that someone stood you up or to think that they stoned themselves in the shower?
Well, I mean, I've never dated a Gorgon, so I'm not sure what to expect in this situation.
Excellent point. You've got to date more Gorgons.
But
that's the key.
I did like that conversation because, you know, it's very relatable when... You know, I've been in situations where I've made assumptions as to why someone didn't show up or why they didn't right. call or something mm-hmm. like that. Granted, the answer has never been that they have stoned themselves. I mean,
I hope not.
In a different way they have, maybe, right. but not in this way. Right. And so it was just a relatable moment. And I do like that, you know, Enid goes in for a kiss with her claws coming out. Like, it was just a very sweet moment.
Yeah, it was very sweet. And those two crazy kids, you know, they deserve one another.
Yes, give them all the happiness in the yeah. world. So we end this episode in the woods with Eugene.
Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods?
No, Taylor Swift, we are not out of the woods.
Okay.
We are still in the woods. And the creature has gotten Eugene. Well, the creature is chasing Eugene. Wednesday looks for him. Eugene loses his glasses. Is that a thing? Is that a prerequisite to getting attacked by uh-huh. the creature?
If you wear glasses in any horror.
Oh, boy. Because then you can't see anymore and then exactly. you're automatically attacked.
Yes.
I guess they better look into those contact situations.
I'm not doing it.
I can't do it.
I have a thing with eyes.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
My eyes driving me crazy right at this moment. But there's no way I'm putting a contact in there. Like, they get lost in people's eyes, or they just get lost. Like, they just fall out.
I just, what? I do not like poking myself in the eye.
No.
I know that's not what you do. I know. Adams. Yeah. But
I don't want my finger coming anywhere near my eye or anything else for that matter.
Yeah. No.
So,
yeah, but it looks as though Eugene is the latest victim of the creature. And guess who's there again?
We don't know that he's a dead.
We don't know that he's a dead. That's true. But victim, he's still a victim.
Yeah, you're right. He's still a victim. Or a survivor, hopefully.
Well, he was attacked. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, but Miss Thornhill was there again. Just saying, it's just like, oh my god, is he alive?
You would know. You're the one who almost murdered him.
Yeah. So that's where we end this episode, as we usually do. Did you want to review the sus meter for you? Yeah. I mean, for me, it's very obvious that number one for me is Miss Thornhill. But
yeah,
how are you feeling about our unusual?
I know that they were. That Miss Thornhill specifically was told to keep an eye on Wednesday to make sure that Wednesday didn't do anything untoward at this dance. So maybe, like, it could be explained away that the reason that she was there to help Wednesday was because she was supposed to be watching her. But I don't know if I buy that. Thornhill is definitely now high on my radar in terms of, like, her being the monster. But I also, with like all the hormones going on with Xavier, I'm still sus about both Xavier and Tyler. I think it both things can be true. They can both really like Wednesday and want to be in a relationship with Wednesday while also being the monster, because as we keep finding out, they are protective of Wednesday. Like, they don't attack Wednesday.
Well, and we have some evidence that, like, Tyler has done things without knowing why and maybe not understanding why or how he did things when he was talking about his attack on Xavier. So, you know, they could, maybe they're possessed by something. It's not
I hadn't thought of possession, but we might as well throw it in.
Yeah, yeah, a little possession dressing on our salad, just to see how it goes.
Possession dressing, brought to you by Marissa and LT.
Well, yeah, so we're halfway through. Overall, how are you feeling about the series?
We're halfway there.
Are you living on a prayer?
Kind of, every day. You have no idea. Yeah, I will say I am really enjoying this show.
Yeah, me too.
It's turning out to be a lot better of a watch than I thought it was going to be, because I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with some people that have reached out to us on Twitter to ask, you know, if they should watch Wednesday, that the promos for Wednesday were not the greatest selling point about the show at all.
And I feel like it kind of snuck up. It was just like,
yeah,
once, like, it was definitely a prominent promo the week it premiered, but before that I was like, oh yeah, that's happening next week.
Yeah, that's happening like right now.
Oh, okay.
They were spending so much time promoting The Crown, the worst season of The Crown.
Yeah, they had like a lot between that and then Glass Onion. Like, there's a lot.
I can't wait to find out why it's called Glass Onion, but yeah, that has nothing to do with this. But yeah, my point is that I'm just really enjoying the show. I love disappearing into this world, a little bit at a time, and just sitting with these characters and wondering if there's anyone that we're overlooking here. Like, we still don't have any more answers to the mystery of Weems and what's going on there.
No, we haven't seen shape-shifting since episode 2.
Right. But like, that was a random weird trick. And like, who is that man?
Yeah, we have no clue.
We have no clue. The body count, you know, hopefully we won't be including poor Eugene in this, but the victim tally is really just going up episode by episode.
Another episode, another attack.
That doesn't even count the attacks that we didn't even get to see that happened off screen.
Yeah.
So clearly this was someone who was there before Wednesday arrived. And so they've been working for a while. I don't know what kind of weird scratch Xavier has on his neck, but it became more and more prominent as the time went on throughout this episode. I just have so many different feelings. And I think that that's a great place to be at the halfway point of a series.
Yeah, I like that there are so many questions. I know we won't get answers to all of them. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if we got answers to all of them, I'll say. Yeah. But it definitely keeps me wanting to watch. I know we're stopping down after every episode to kind of talk about it. But if I wasn't podcasting about the show, I'm sure I would have binged it.
I would have been done on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has piqued my interest. It's a familiar world that I like being a part of. Not only just like the Addams family. I mean, the Addams family isn't really prevalent in the series. It's much more of the like high school teenage movie vibe than, I mean, obviously the Addams Family vibe is there, but we're not the interactions between the family aren't start. We've only had one phone call from the family.
Yeah.
And so I'm just having a real good time, and it's super fun talking with you about it. And I hope that people are also enjoying our takes along the way. Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine? Like, I have to say, I've been having a fantastic time talking with you about this show, Marissa. It really is like the highlight of my day when we get to podcast together. And I can't imagine people sticking around. For all the nonsense words that we come up with. We just did an entire episode where we called someone Cracky Tails. You know, like,
that is true.
So bless you for listening. Basically.
Yes. Yes.
If you are listening to this podcast, then you are an official knight of the realm of Garz Starks. Starks Garza?
Starza?
Starza. Perfect. Welcome to Starza.
Oh, get your cloak and mask at orientation.
Yes. And your voice distorter. Yeah. As well. Yes. And a projector for some reason.
Well, like we said, thank you so much for joining us. If you've made it all the way through the end of this episode, we'll be back in your feeds next week to cover episodes 5 and 6. I'm hoping we're going to get some answers to all the questions we have. But in the meantime, you can find LaTanya and I at various places throughout the Rob Has a Podcast and Post Show Recaps worlds. Mm-hmm. LaTanya, anything specific you'd like to point out or call out?
Well, we got to call out our epic crossover event.
It was you know, like Move Over, Grey's Anatomy, and Station 19. This
Station
is
Station 19 who? Grey's what?
We are like the Station 19 to the Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy, yes. For sure. Yeah, we're just clunking along. They're a well-oiled machine there.
It works.
Saving lives, but it works. We are all saving lives. In case you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we appeared on Nothing But Netflix, the most recent episode of Nothing But Netflix, with none other than Rob Sestrinino and Chappelle. And we talked about the first episode of this show. So if you really cannot get enough Wednesday content, and we certainly can't, then you should, check it out. Head on over to the RHAP feed where it'll be released. And maybe even released on the post-show recaps feed, question mark, because it is a crossover event. We'll find
We'll find out.
Difficult to say.
The crystal ball is not giving me
it's
much.
It's like honey giving nothing. You can catch me talking about Andor with DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick. There are more episodes coming, even though the season is over. You can also catch me on episode one of The Crown coverage with Grace filling in for Shannon Gus. And then the full season recap that we did with Sarah Ferguson. You can find me on the series finale of Atlanta with Mari and Chappelle. The very appropriate for our times, Adam's Family episode of Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with Sarah and Jess. And, you know, there may or may not be some Mediapedia in my future, in my very near future. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we will be talking about, are we allowed to announce it yet? Just going to do it. We are going to be me and Marissa, because can't get enough of her. Not really a podcast if she's not there. And Sarah Ferguson are going to be doing a season recap of Dead to Me.
Like season series, everything we want to say up until this point because it's the end of the show type of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I just got to watch that.
Same.
And then we'll come back with all of the juicy plot details that we just can't get enough of with that show.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about what I'm doing, you can find me on the Discord, just kind of checking in, lurching around. Looking for my name and then going, you rang. You can find me on Twitter at LK Starks, where I'll be holding down the fort as long as there is a fort to be held down. And on Instagram at Stormborn1222. Where I will be posting pictures of things and stuff.
But not thing.
No. Okay. Thing will not just make an appearance.
Just making sure.
Yeah. His rate was too high. Where can people find you, Marisa?
I can be found right here on Post Show Recaps talking about this here show, talking about the big who, what, when, where, whys of and house of media and our encyclopedia podcast show Mediapedia, which is available to Post Show Recaps patrons, which you can be one if you aren't one. We don't have like an initiation or any type of like cloak, but there is a merch situation for Post Show Recaps. If you'd like to join that way, you can at postshowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps. With any level of membership, you get access to our exclusive Post Show Recaps podcast feeds, and then also access to the Post Show Recaps Discord, which is where you can find me as well. Other than that, I can be found on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. So that's about it. Until next time, stay spooky.